Ken mentioned a rather long word that I was going to speak about. I thought I was here to speak about the mission of the church, so I'll do that instead. Seriously, any of you are wondering, ecclesiology simply means the study of the church and the doctrine, what God teaches about the church. And this morning we're going to look in particular at the mission of the church. And I want to begin by making what might sound a somewhat shocking admission, especially coming as it does from someone who heads up a mission organisation, and that is this. I find the word mission a really slippery. You know, trying to grasp what mission is can feel a little like wrestling with a jellyfish sometimes. You know, the broadest level, mission can simply be what we are called to do. So the mission of a certain fast food chain is to make better burgers. The mission of the Parramatta Eels is to somehow avoid the wooden spoon. The mission of Holden is simply to keep afloat. And in those terms, the mission of the church can mean anything and everything that God's people are called to do, which of course can make for a rather long list and potentially a rather long sermon. So this morning I want to take a slightly narrower focus when I think of a mission. Now the word mission comes from the idea of being sent. And it's clear from the Bible that just as Jesus was sent by the Father, and just as the risen Jesus even today sends his Holy Spirit, so too the church, the people of God, are a sent people. But where are we sent? And with what purpose are we sent? Well, there's a couple of verses of the New Testament that help us answer the question. The first comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 18. This is Jesus on the night before he is to die. This is Jesus praying to the Father, first for himself, then for his first circle of disciples, and then for all who will believe through their message. And in chapter 17, verse 18, he says these words, "As you, his Father, have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And again, look at our passage from Matthew 28. This is Jesus, now after his death and resurrection, meeting with his disciples in Galilee. He reminds them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him from his Father. And with that authority, he gives them their task. Verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." These words, of course, were addressed in the first instance to those first circle of disciples, but they are also addressed to us who have believed through their message. We too have a mission, and that mission is to the world. The world. Now, as God's people, we have a responsibility, first of all, of course, to engage with God. And we also have a responsibility to engage with each other. But we also have a responsibility and a calling to engage with the world. And what is that world? Well, you can look at it from different perspectives. First of all, it is the world which God made, the world which God loves, a good world full of beauty and wonder. But it is also a world that has rebelled against its maker, which has failed to give thanks for his blessings, and which now, as a result, stands under his judgment. Thirdly, is the world that God looks on with grace, the world for which God's Son gave his life. So we are called to go into this world, this beautiful world, this sinful world, this world that needs to hear of its only Saviour. And I want to suggest that as we engage with this world, there are three movements that we need to live out. And you'll see them listed there on your outline.
First is that as the church, we are called to gather from the world. It seems a strange place to start, doesn't it? Because we're talking about mission and engaging with the world. Why begin with gathering from the world? Well, it's because before we can do anything, we need to understand who we are. And fundamentally, that the church, the people of God, are the assembly, the gathering of God's people. You know, we're not just a club or a meeting. Clubs and companies have meetings, and when you have a meeting, what matters most is the agenda. The families have gatherings, and what matters most is the expression of relationship. You know, you can meet by accident. You happen to be walking down the shops and you quite literally bump into somebody you know. But you gather on purpose. It's something you do deliberately. The church, you see, gathers. Or even better, the church is gathered by God. We'll see later that God's great purpose is to gather a people for himself under the lordship of Jesus. And even now, he is beginning that work in countless places throughout his world, even here in Saratoga. And I want to say that gathering, being gathered, actually makes a profound difference and has a huge impact on the world around us. Because you see, the world in which we live is a world that wants to divide and fragment us. It's a world that wants to put us into little boxes and categories according to our age, or our income levels, or our political affiliation, or an ethnic background. You know, I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Gen X city-dwelling male, rugby league supporting, voting for... No, we won't go there. But where our world divides, God gathers. And that gathering makes a huge difference. And I've seen that firsthand in the last couple of years as I've travelled around Australia, seeing firsthand what God is doing through BCA supported ministry. You know, it makes a huge difference in a place like Newman, a mining town in Western Australia, where under the leadership of Derek and Amanda McCartney, God has gathered a church of 60 people representing 17 different nationalities. You know, it makes a huge difference in a place like Wickham, another mining community, this time on the coast of Western Australia, where under the leadership of Richard and Tracy Gosden, God is gathering a church that is reaching across racial and economic boundaries in what has been a divided community. You know, if you walk down the main street of Wickham, you could quite literally see a town divided in two. On one side, there's the people who've done well out of the mining boom, and they have the houses, the big screen TVs, and the boats to show for it. On the other side, you have what the locals call the Bronx, the people who feel that if there is a mining boom, it's well and truly left them behind. You know, predominantly, not exclusively, Aboriginal. But God is gathering people from both sides of the street together under the lordship of his Son. Gathering from the world makes a difference because it says to the world, here is something extraordinary taking place. And it can make a huge difference right here as well. The second movement of mission is witnessing, and I'll put another element there, worldview. Because even as the church gathers, the world is present. Yes, we gather as the family of God, but it's an open family. When others are looking in, when others, as it were, are coming in to our midst, drawn by what they've seen and heard, by what God is doing amongst his people. And as we gather, we witness to Christ in different ways. We witness to Christ, first of all, by proclaiming his gospel. And that gospel can be proclaimed in many different ways as we gather together. It's proclaimed as we read the scriptures and hear them read. It's proclaimed as the scriptures are taught. It's proclaimed as we sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, words which praise the Lord Jesus for what he's done in the gospel. praying this, we share in the Lord's Supper together, proclaiming the death of Jesus until he comes.
The gospel is proclaimed in our conversations together beforehand, as we share a cup or afterwards, encouraging each other as we speak the truth in love.
In all these ways, we witness to Christ. We also witness to Christ as we model what it means to be a community shaped by the gospel, using our gifts to serve one another. And finally, we witness to Christ as we welcome the outsider, as we make sure that they too are included, that they are helped to understand what has been said and done, that they aren't left on the out as we gather together in our little holy huddle, but to make them feel that they matter as well. You know, that passage from Romans chapter 12 gives us a wonderful picture of what it looks like as the church gathers together as a witnessing community. Verse 3, Paul writes, "For the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And he goes on to show how that commitment to being one body with diverse parts lives itself out, as members use their gifts to lead and serve and teach and show mercy, as they offer hospitality and show kindness. And I want to say, all this is missional because all this has an impact on the world. What does it look like in practice? Well, just over a month ago, I was down in King Island. You might know King Island is the home of the famous dairy that produces all kinds of cheeses and creams and other things that, alas, I can't eat because of my lactose intolerance. But while I was on that island, I had morning tea with a young couple called Philip and Kelly, who are one of the 14 dairy farmers who produce milk for that dairy. And they told me their story. Both of them had a kind of, you know, Christian heritage in their upbringing, but as is often the case, once they left school, they began to grow spiritually. Things changed for them when they had married and had their first child and decided to have that child baptized. And because, you know, they sensed that baptism was a significant commitment, they decided to begin gathering regularly with God's people. And they said that that stuff really didn't make sense to them. But what did make sense was the love they experienced from the other members of the church. They talked about, you know, their little toddler, a baby crawling under the pews and generally making a bit of a racket. But they said, we were loved. People didn't look at us with disapproval. They were so delighted to have us in their midst. And then they were invited to come to an Alpha course where they heard about the gospel and were able to respond in faith and repentance for what Jesus had done for them. And now they are actively with members of that congregation, looking to live their faith out on that island. And it all happened under God because there was a witnessing, welcoming community, ready to embrace them, ready to speak the truth to them, ready to love them as Jesus did. That brings me to our third movement of mission. As God's people, we are sent into the world. I've said earlier that as the church, we don't just meet, we gather. But I also want to say, as the church, we don't just leave, we are sent. You know what leaving's what happens when, you know, you notice that someone there is switching off the lights and beginning to pack the chairs. You know, you ever had that experience in a restaurant where everything's shut down one by one, the staff are starting to sit down and enjoy their dinner, and you get the hint, and you leave. It's kind of been forced upon you. Honestly, I hope you don't leave this morning. I mean, I do make you go home eventually. But I don't want you to leave. I want you to realize that you are being sent. So you can leave by accident. You can leave because it's been forced upon you by circumstances. You are sent with a purpose. And as God's people, we are sent into His world. Look at Romans chapter 12, those first two verses. Therefore I urge you, Paul writes, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, we often think of worship that happens as something that happens for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Yes, we do worship God as we gather together. But Paul is wanting to expand our vision of what worship means. Worship means offering our bodies, offering all we have and all we are to God in every part of our life. So you'll be sent out to worship God this week in many different ways. You'll be sent to worship God as you speak His words of truth. You'll be sent to worship God as you model His love and His care and His justice in your relationship with others. You will be sent to worship God as you care for His creation, as a good steward of all that He has given you. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks of being an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is a sent person. An ambassador is someone who has been sent from their homeland to another place with a purpose. And that purpose is to represent the king or the government who has sent them. I want to say to each one of us, you are Christ's ambassadors. You have been sent into the world to represent your king by passing on his message and by living out the values of his kingdom. What does it look like when God's people live as sent people? Well, once again, let me share you one particular example from our experience. Just this week, we received a letter from the person in charge of the correctional centre in Broken Hill. It was to do with some ministry that had been provided by the Reverend Neville Nader, who's a BCA supported field staff member, an Aboriginal man, ministering in that particular community. And let me just read an extract from that letter. Dear Neville, I'm writing to you in relation to the recent NAIDOC festivities organised at the Broken Hill Correctional Complex. I was very pleased with the activities and support both you and your team provided on that day, and indeed the true spirit of reconciliation and goodwill that was portrayed on the day by all concerned. Myself and many others were touched by the spiritual content and messages that you presented to all those at the event. And I'm sure your message would have reached many of those participating in the festivities and listening to your messages and concerns. In closing, I would again like to thank you for your participation in a very positive event and would like you to pass on to the centres thanks to all members of your team on the day. Friends, that is the difference it makes when we live as a sent people. When we go into the prisons, the workplaces, the shopping centres, the community organisations of our world with an awareness that we go as Christ's ambassadors. That we are not anywhere by accident, but we are everywhere with a purpose, with a mission. So, we come to the beginning and the end of mission. You might have noticed that those three movements actually form a cycle, don't they? We gather, we witness, we're sent, and then we gather again. Okay, so the cycle continues. Yeah. The wonderful thing is, we actually get to invite others to join that cycle as well. You know, we gather, we witness, we're sent. As we go as Christ's ambassadors, we say to others, come and see, come and experience. They too gather. So that they've got someone there, they come to trust in the Lord Jesus and join that cycle of mission themselves. It's a cycle, but it's not an endless cycle. In a sense, said earlier that the church, God gathering his people, is absolutely central to what God is doing in our world. And in a sense, that is where all of history is heading. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, there is this wonderful vision. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Friends, that is where history is hidden. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus by faith in him, that is where you are heading as well. To that great church, that wonderful gathering of God's people from every part of creation, all of them washed clean through the blood of Christ, all of them singing the praises of the one who saved them. That is our hope. That will be the day when, in a sense, all mission will have reached its climax and its goal. But for now, there is a task set before each of us. Gather to witness and to be sent, so that one day we may rejoice.